Okay, stop your messing around. It is now my greatest pleasure to introduce Leah Rahm Lubin.
KFJC's first public affairs director. And I think that's what this interview is about, isn't it?
Yes. You're one of the great historical figures.
Oh, my God.
Given KFJC's 60th anniversary.
Right.
We want to get everything we can from everybody and from very important people like you.
Oh, thank you so much, Jersey girl.
Okay.
All right, then.
Let me just start. What was your air name at KFJC?
Well, actually, my first radio name was Leah Angel.
Okay.
The Leah Angel Show. All right. It's 1981, and I'm fresh in America 1.5 years. And I want to do something that relates, and I have to use my British accent. Doesn't that make sense? So I think I'm going to do radio, and I joined KFJC. And like everybody who joins KFJC, they usually start off with a music show. And I started off with a mod punk British radio show under the format of the Leah Angel Show. And just to throw some background on why I was doing that, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background about me.
Okay.
And this is a poem called You've Got to Be Fearless. I was born in Israel when it was only 3 years old. First war I went through at 4 years old, 3 more wars to follow, my grandparents murdered for their religion. So what was I taught? You've got to be fearless, much more easily said than lived. England saved me when we moved there at the age of 6. They embraced me with history, architecture, beautiful and natural countryside. Then the world's most amazing city, London, took over my life, cared and taught me everything I know. But when push came to shove, Great Britain said, "You've got to be fearless." Now here in California, America, my home since 1979, my life still complicated, changing, and not quite there yet, I know I have to be fearless. And fearless is a good term to use when you do go on the radio, because you never know what's going to happen. So I'm doing my music show as the Leah Angel Show, and it is a very interesting time at KFJC. One of the things that's happening was, because radio was so powerful, there were lots and lots of free tickets to all kinds of amazing musical events. And there was a reggae band coming from England called The Specials, all right, that were going to be playing at Stanford. And there we had free tickets. Of course, I got one of them. And I went to the show with a couple of DJs from the station, and we just had an amazing time listening to British ska and British reggae, so unusual. And at the end of the show, for some reason, I felt very courageous. And I said, let's go talk to them about KFJC. They let us into the back, and we got into the room with them just like immediately, and I started talking to them with a British accent. Of course, that helps, all right? And I say, KFJC is very cool. It's where you want to be, where you want to be interviewed. And they actually agreed. So the next thing you know, within 2 hours of the end of their show at Stanford University, they're coming to the station. We call them the station, telling them this is what's going to happen, and everybody's really, really excited. So they come, and I realize this is a very interesting format, this talk format, and maybe it actually is more me than music. So the next thing I do is I completely change from the music show to talk format. And says, what are you going to do? So it is an interesting time, all right? It's 1982-83. And one of the things that's happening in America is this thing called the New Age movement, where people were going from medical structure, traditional allopathic medicine, to holistic medicine. And I started a doctor natural medicine show called Healthline, with Dr. Wallace Sampson, also from Stanford, and he would come in once a week, and I would interview him for 2 hours talking about alternative ideas. He'd throw his ideas, which were straight all the way through, and we had a show that lasted for 2 years called Healthline, all right? That was number one. And then I would do a Sunday afternoon garage punk new wave music show, meaning that if you're local, you're playing in your garage, you should be here in the station. So they would come every Sunday with their instruments, and they would play for us here. So that was another show I was doing, okay? But even more interesting than that, this club called the Keystone, which everybody knows of. The Keystone started off in Palo Alto. It had a Berkeley venue and it had a San Francisco venue. So the Keystone was literally across the Bay Area and had anything from Jerry Garcia, okay, to, you know, all kinds of the most incredible bands would come through, okay, like the Ramones. So I started to promote the Keystone and would promote them once a week with all their events and got very popular with the owner and the owner's son to the point where they gave me a pass for all three clubs and were really encouraging of me at KFJC to promote them, okay? And I just want to say that I stood 10 feet from the Ramones as they played in Palo Alto and it was absolutely amazing. So can I throw in a Jerry Garcia poem for you at this point? All right. Jerry Garcia in heaven misses us too. When in 1995 Jerry Garcia died, he left a huge hole in many of our hearts. A father figure, a leader, musical genius with a way to keep us all involved, coming along for the ride, for the fun and togetherness. Now we have Further and the Dead, but we don't have Jerry. In heaven, Jerry, forever young, misses us too. So, interestingly enough, when I first joined the station, it stopped playing dead music, okay, and went punk and new wave. Do you know anything about that?
I mean, I know about the music. I don't know about that particular history.
Yes. So, I mean, very interesting because it was also happening in England. We went from the straight Beatles to the Rolling Stones, who opened up some doors, to the Who with Smashing Instruments, to very hard edge punk. And I did find it here at the station too. And I think it still carries that format of alternative, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So here I am working at KFJC, all right? And I want to say a couple of other things. I was their public affairs director, and I did do like 3 years of talk shows. And it was in the most amazing time. And one of the things I want you to understand was at the time, radio stations had to do 10 hours of public affairs every single month, okay, to maintain their license. So we had power as talk format. And what happened was after, you know, in 1985, after like nearly 4 years of experience of doing talk at KFJC, the world's biggest rock radio station that was huge in the South Bay called KOME, which most of your listeners, I'm sure, have heard of, had a talk show called The Expressway Show. It was on the air for 12 years, and for some reason, the host was quitting after 12 years, and the show was up for grabs. And me and KGO people and major people went after this show, this Expressway Show. And lo and behold, they gave me the show. They hired me. KOME hired me right out of KFJC, which is a huge compliment to KFJC because obviously with my broadcasting license, I wouldn't be there. So I'm joining this powerful, powerful station, KOME, with a show that's been on the air for 12 years. I have my own desk. I have people writing to come on the show that are heavyweights. When Cleveland's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame opened up, they came on my show and talked about it, all right? When Burning Man had its first year, and it was 1986, in San Francisco, was launching this show, it came on the Expressway Show, all right? But even more interesting than that, Bill Graham had just recently, in the last 2 years, opened up the Shoreline Amphitheater for the Grateful Dead, as you probably know that little bit. And there was something very interesting going down. The garden area of the Shoreline started having serious problems. All of a sudden, in the middle of shows, it would burst into flame. Have you heard of that? And the reason was because it was built on some toxic stuff that was exploding. And Bill Graham's going absolutely bloody crazy. What am I going to do? He says. I know, he says. I'm going to talk to Leia on the Expressway Show and see if we can calm everybody down. Okay, so he sends Danny Shear, big deal, okay, on the Expressway Show, and we tell the Bay Area the following. Calm down, everybody. It's being handled. The Grateful Dead aren't going anywhere, and everything is under control. And I would say, hello, that would probably be one of my most remarkable radio memories. I also want to mention that when the Bridge School, okay, Neil Young's deceased wife, okay, who's opened up the Bridge School, and they wanted to do their first concert at the Shoreline for the Bridge School. They also were going to send Neil on the Expressway show. And I was so scared of interviewing Neil. I was thinking, OMG, Neil Young is going to be on my show, and I wonder if I can control myself. You know, I'm going to be so excited, I'm going to sound like a twit. And that's not good when you're doing talk, okay? So they actually end up sending somebody else. But I do hope you can get the joke of all of that. I said no to Neil Young. Can you even imagine how ridiculous that is? Anyway, so I feel very strong about the fact that I helped launch the Bridge School concerts at the Shoreline. I helped calm people down about the fires. And Commander Cody was on my show. And the Four Tops... Are you impressed? Are you impressed, Jersey Girl?
I'm impressed. I was impressed from moment one.
Aww. And so here I am, like, living the time of my life. It's Sunday night, once a week, the Expressway show, midnight to 2 a.m., okay? And we've got Rooster Tea Feathers, which is a comedy club in Sunnyvale on the El Camino, sending me comedians on the show. One, we have... this is, and I formatted this, okay? We have a lawyer that comes on to talk about if you get tickets. All the things I think rock people are going to be interested in, I did. And it was the time of my life. And all of a sudden, 11 and a half months into the show, this weekly show, the FCC changes its policy and says the following: you know what, rock radio stations? You don't need to do talk shows anymore to keep your license. OMG. Okay. So here it is. It's 1986, and KOME, which is owned by Infinity Broadcasting, that's where my checks are coming from, is talking about having issues with finances. Okay. And how every single show brought in different kind of money according to how well-known or famous that show was. So the more famous the show was, more famous the music show was, the more money it would bring in commercially. So KOME thought, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take the Expressway show, since we don't need to do public affairs anymore, and we're going to take it after 13 years of being a midnight to 2 a.m. perfect time slot Sunday night, and throw it on as a 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. Sunday morning show. And I'm like dying, okay, because I know that's the end of the show. Why? The rockers, they're finally asleep. Who's up at 5 a.m.? Who's going to come? Bill Graham, is he going to come on your show at 5 a.m. on Sunday? Who, what, where, and how? So I said to myself, I have to back off, because I don't want to be there as the 2 a.m. evening show. Someone took it over, and it lasted like 8 weeks and then was off the air. And I have done fill-ins at KFJC, but I would love to have another powerful radio talk show.
Well, you can always come back to KFJC.
I know. I know. So I do have three more poems I want to share with everybody that I hope you enjoy. And again, we're talking about the Grateful Dead, because they still are very powerful, okay? And this one's called 484 Songs Are in the Grateful Dead Collection. Connections are needed for a healthy lifestyle. Immediate openings here and now. Respect for the 484 songs that are in the Grateful Dead Collection. A roadmap of life's strangest trip. Wisdom and reality, plus the allure of a rock and roll lifestyle, always playing even with the dangers involved. San Francisco's great Haight-Ashbury neighborhood, birthplace of our counterculture, the home of our Grateful Dead ancestors, but now changed. The story starts like this. Bob Weir met Jerry Garcia at a Palo Alto music store in 1963. He wanted to play the guitar and have a good time, Jerry told us. Whose idea was it to have a band, we ask? We had a jug band with Pigpen and Bob, and we played any place we could. Then finally we got into the electronic music. Then what happened? Well, we're still confused, but it was a new world now, and we couldn't be wasting our time anymore, he tells us. Thank you for the love, we respond. We deadheads remember the magic of every concert attended. And I carry his memory with me, says Bob Weir, because Jerry gave us so much. Yes, we all agree. What, did you like that, Jersey Girl?
Yes. Are you sound like you're a big deadhead.
Yes. Of course, there are bigger deadheads than me, because I'm more than just the dead.
Right.
Many deadheads are just deadheads. So, yeah.
Well, I think you can be a big deadhead without being only a deadhead.
But I do have the fortune of having lived in Mountain View and gone to the shoreline. And
did you ever meet them in person?
No, but I did see Jerry, okay, like 20 feet away from me, walk by, and he was magical. And did you ever attend any dead shows?
I think I did. I have a horrible memory, and I had to ask a friend if I went to see a dead show, and he said I did.
Okay.
And Ray Vaughan was playing at the same time. So apparently it was a very memorable show in Oregon, but I didn't remember.
You were in Oregon?
Yes.
Cool. All right, I'm going to do two more.
Okay.
And this is something I think many of us can relate to. It's called Rebel, Rebel, What Now? When overcome with complex personal issues, one asks oneself, Rebel, Rebel, what now? Defining progress takes work. I pace myself to complete and continue the journey. Amongst flowers and ashes, dusk and dawn, I encourage the rebel side in me to a rebirth. Don't just linger in the past. Come forward and demand your future, because without you, I am lost, frozen in niceness, but no longer interested. I realize now that who I really am is more complicated than I originally thought. Can you relate to that, Jersey Girl?
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy being a rocker on planet Earth. What do you think?
Why not? It would be fun. You're living your life. You're expressing yourself.
Right.
Why wouldn't that be easy?
Because we have been criticized and we have been looked on a little bit as obscure.
Okay.
We're talking about the rockers in general. I'm not saying the ones who are fit.
Are you a rocker?
Yes, I would say I am. Yeah.
How so?
Well, I write poetry. I write literature. And I do art, okay? And I love doing radio even more than TV. So, yeah, I think that kind of puts me on the edge a little bit. But I want to say that I have one last one for today, and it does sort of talk about London a little bit. It's called Let Me Tell You What It Was Like When London, when Quant and Fidel Sassoon led the way and showed us how to dress and feel. But it was bigger than that. London needed freeing and liberating, but most of all, it needed a new art form that included clothing, posters, swirly curves, rock and roll, and yes, people's souls. I was there, a young teenager, ready to live, experience life, be involved, and also be included. I went all over London town, Chelsea, Carnaby Street, and Hampstead. So glad to get a chance to live there, to live it all. Mod London, always calling. So I do think that there is life left for talk shows in rock radio stations.
Sure.
And there aren't any that I'm aware of. I mean, not saying that there aren't any interview shows. There are, okay? But there isn't like a format like the Expressway show where you could come on board, talk on a weekly basis about what's going on, what shows are happening in town, what issues people are going through, and maybe even help people with comedy, health, finance issues that all relate to the rocker lifestyle, which is a little bit more alternative. And I would love to have a chance to do something like that again. I have a new title. I like to do Rock Talk with Leia. I'm throwing it out there. I would do it at KFJC if they wanted me. I would do it somewhere else.
Put in a show proposal. I'll send you the form.
Okay.
Going back to the history a little, right. I think you mentioned when I talked to you on the phone that you actually had a show from 2 to 6 a.m. here at KFJC.
Right, and that was the music show.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
That was the rock and...
Right.
Okay.
The Leia Angel show.
Yes, and how long was that on?
It was on for like 10 months before the specials came into town and rescued me and took me right into talk. And that's actually what happened.
You say rescued you. Why do you say that?
Because you know what? I'm a totally useless engineer, okay? Now, you understand that because you know your way around. It's very hard to do music as a show without being a good engineer. You rely on somebody. I had to, okay? And I'm better at the talk format.
When you first started, did you have to go through a training session?
Yes, absolutely. Not only that, it was taken very seriously. I had to get a broadcasting license. So I was going, it took 11 months to get a broadcasting license from KFJC, okay? And without that, I wouldn't have been able to have my KOME show.
What did that entail?
Good question. Doing X amount of hours on the air, which I did, and taking X amount of hours of actual programming history and all the things that you had to learn as being part of KFJC. There was weekly meetings. There was much background stuff that you actually had to study that was relevant at the time.
And who created that content?
That's a good question that I might not have the complete answer for because I just went through it, but it existed. And I think at the time, everybody felt it wasn't going anywhere. Like, we would always have to have a broadcasting license to be on the air. We would always need to have it on a certain level. That was the standard.
It was, what do you mean a certain level?
Like, you couldn't just go on the air, upty-dumpty, there you go, on the air, okay? You had to, like, be registered, be going somewhere, be studying something. It was a bit heavier than it probably is right now.
Actually, you have to go through quite a bit
yes,
to get on the air.
Yes, I'm good, yes, yeah. Yes.
So it was always associated with Foothill College? So
absolutely.
You were a student at Foothill?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, so the courses that you took, though,
right.
were from KFJC staff.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we had these big meetings once. Was it once a month? Once it twice a month?
I wasn't there. You
well,
tell
what about
me.
Now? What about now? How often are these big meetings?
I think once a week, actually.
Once a week.
Yeah.
Okay, possibly. One of the things that was really going on that was incredibly interesting was we had Robert Zepernick, a station manager at the time, and somebody who was doing music at the time, Bob Gaynor, if you've heard those two names. And let me tell you, we were an important radio station for the music world. And we were always getting the latest music. And the music director would take the music, play it to us at the meetings, and talk about it. And it was absolutely amazing. OMG, let me tell you, it was just heart-melting. The meetings were like art events. They were. They were just moving incredible moments of us together. And then at the end of the meetings, guess what we would do?
Drink.
No, but close. We'd go to Round Table Pizza in Los Altos and have pizza. And it happened every single time. And I don't think that's happening anymore, is it?
Actually, a lot of people do get together after the
meetings. And mm-hmm. they go to...
It's not Round Table Pizza, but...
They expected us. You know, they were like, we
I'm
were
sure,
set up.
I'm sure over time, yes. There have been some institutions that people go to here. unfortunately, a couple of them have closed
right.
in the meantime.
Right.
But,
like Tower Records was the KFJC second meeting spot. If it wasn't the Round Table Pizza, it was Tower Records at El Camino and San Antonio Station. People worked there. So it was a meeting spot. And those are the two that I relate to the most. But
I actually remember Tower Records.
You do?
I'm old enough to, yes, to remember Tower
right.
Records. So how many people would go to these meetings? And
quite a few, Jersey girl. You'd be surprised. I mean, there was at least 40 people. Yeah. Not everybody had a show, but people were registered and would go. The meetings were excellent.
And how long did they last? I mean, did you listen to entire albums?
No, but we would listen to parts that the music director wanted us to hear. I can't remember whether it was 1 hour, 2 hours. How long are they now?
It depends
right.
on a lot of things.
Right.
How many announcements there are,
right.
what reviews are
right.
out there.
Similar situation, yes.
Right. And at the time, were people reviewing albums?
Yes.
The
yes.
music, I'm sorry.
The music director was.
But the,
officially,
the staff, all of the staff.
Well, we kind of got his lead on it, and so he was the major reviewer.
Okay.
But there would definitely be talking about the music that was being played.
Okay.
And I think that's what you mean.
Well, these days staff members are assigned a piece of music or an album, whatever.
CD, interesting to know.
And everybody has a chance to review it, and in the staff meetings people come together and talk about the music and the review. So it's
right.
It's not dependent on one person
right.
and it brings in a lot of different
right.
perspectives.
Lovely.
It's great.
Yes.
Definitely. Not to say it's just two different ways of doing it. going back to the training, so you took classes or you had to take classes.
At least a year. Okay.
Oh, a year.
So, yeah, at least a year of classes before I got my broadcasting license. And I was doing a lot of shows. Only, I did like 5 days a week of talk shows. I did all kinds of formats.
And who trained you?
Ha. There was no before layer, so I just did it because I could do it.
But
nobody trained me. I just did it.
Well, but in terms of
criticism or
working at the station, all the courses.
So you know who was there? Who's still here? Doc Pelzel.
Okay.
Okay, and he did do some supervising. But we had a strong station manager, and we had a strong music director, and everybody on staff was powerful. You know, so you couldn't just do a weak show. Every show had to be absolutely super.
Really? So yes. It was regularly reviewed. Did you get feedback from regularly? How did it work? So you're
thumbs up, keep going, that was good. That's kind of thing I heard.
Really? Every week?
Yes. Why not?
That's
it was
great.
Always good. It was good. Yeah. It's like I'm good at that as opposed to possibly doing any engineering or your garden. I'm not going to cook for you in a restaurant. And I, you know, probably won't sew your clothes if you rip them. But I do good talk.
Good to know.
Yes.
Did you ever know anyone who wasn't able to stay? Because, I mean, you don't
they
have to
name good
names.
Enough? Yeah. No, I didn't, actually, so I don't
I'm sure that people who had some issues were supported.
And I know, and
I'm sure there was, but the whole community wanted to make
Yeah, but you know what? It was
work.
So hard to keep doing fresh talk shows mm-hmm. that was the focus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as opposed to what anybody else is doing with their shows. Mm. So we were like, had a lot of responsibility to maintain the level of our shows, and that was our main thing. So
who's we?
We as opposed to everybody at the station.
But there was more you doing...
No.
You mean people who were doing
yes.
talk shows? So who else was doing
okay,
talk
good
shows?
Question. There was the odd talk shows. There was no... At the time when I was there, there was one show on Sunday nights, One Step Beyond, that was quite famous. And that was happening for a long, long time. But besides that, my show Healthline was going on for 2 years. It was generally odd shows, like somebody wanted to interview somebody specific and they would come in and do it.
Mm, okay. So one-off.
Yes.
Okay.
But it was a great time, you know. It was a time when radio had tons of respect. We never expected the internet to take over our lives the way it does now. You know, we never expected to compete with somebody's phone. Okay, if we were on the air, we expected you to have the best time listening to us. Okay, and that was our goal, that you really enjoyed your time with us on the air. And
how far did it reach at that time, do you know? Because right now it's in partly in San Francisco, out in Berkeley.
Well, the FCC did, they said I had 25,000 listeners on KOME. That was a huge station. What was going on at KFJC? You know, KFJC has its huge fan base.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know the numbers, but I know it was a week.
How did everybody get along?
That's a great question. Now, here's what was going down. We were getting tickets to The Clash. We were getting tickets to the Ramones, okay? We felt incredibly privileged, okay? We would dress up to come to the station, okay? We represented the rock era that was happening in the world, okay? So everybody got along with a lot of respect, as far as I'm concerned and what I saw.
You mean with each other or in the community or both?
Both. More with each other. I mean, in the community, can you be more specific? Do you mean the music industry? What do you mean?
When you would go out to shows.
Right.
I think you already alluded
enough
to it.
get into shows with our ticket, you know, and bring important people up to the station.
So you had mentioned KFJC was seen as being an important station.
Yes, it was. Yes.
You had mentioned KFJC and then KOME.
Right.
And so people would seek out.
KFJC was extremely respected.
Did you ever bring any other musical acts in?
We did do the garage bands.
Okay.
But did I bring anybody as important as... Yes.
Well, what kind of garage bands? How did they find
you?
Right,
right. They,
what, how
they
did
knew
that
it
work?
Was happening and they would apply. And then we would bring them in, let them come in.
So they'd
have to be on a
or,
certain level.
Was the internet... Could you send emails then?
No.
I forget.
No. 1981 to 86. No.
Yes, right.
No. We didn't even have cell phones.
Right.
Faxes were big in those days.
Oh,
let
yes.
me tell you about the power of the fax machine.
That's true, actually.
People would bring up fax machines. Do you miss the fax machine? No, but That was fun to say, fax machine, right?
It's a great noise.
True, true. There's nothing like it anymore, is there?
No.
That's true.
I mean, gone away.
And when you hear it, you know something very important has just arrived.
Right. So we're talking about two different things. So you did the radio show, I mean the talk show.
Shows. There was a few.
You did the health one,
yeah.
And then what else did you do?
Okay, so there was another interesting story to share. Again, it's 1982, and Stanford University had a group of ladies that were gay. Okay, I'm straight, but they were gay, and they wanted to promote their group. And I said, come on my show, I would love to promote you. So I want to say that I was the first talk show host in the Bay Area, because it is 1982, mm-hmm. that promoted a feeling, an experience, and a group of ladies at Stanford that were setting a path.
What was that group?
I know what the subject matter was,
right.
And I don't remember the name of it.
What was the subject matter?
Being gay.
Okay.
As ladies. And, you
that's
know,
pretty great. And
yes.
Would people call in? And
possibly, yes, because I specialize in call-ins.
Okay. Do you know what kind of response that particular show?
Well, it was the very, very first time on the air. And so the people that it related to the most were grateful. So that was the vibe. The vibe was thank you, KFJC, for letting us talk about this unwelcome subject, and this was the first time. So that I can't go much further than that, but that was something I got to participate in and bring to the station saying, yes, please do come. And then the other one was Healthline, where I would talk about alternative medicine ideas, naturopathic medicine, vitamins, different food groups, and that also wasn't getting a lot of airtime, and
right.
It was very topical.
Can
very
you
topical.
Think of any memorable shows in the Healthline one?
Well, the doctor, my co-host, very straight, from Stanford, they were all very good, okay? He would stick to the straight path. If you've got cancer, we'll operate on you, and we'll give you this medicine. And I'd say, wait a minute, there are some other ways. And he'd say, no, there aren't, okay? So we'd carry on like that. You know, there was that dialogue that was intense a little bit. And that's great.
And he was willing to do that every single
yes,
week?
Yes, yes.
Did he...
Because of KFJC.
Okay.
Yes.
And what do you mean by that?
Again, because we were powerful enough to have that happen here, as opposed to let's go around the corner and see who's willing to talk to us.
What was his goal in talking with you?
Interesting question. His goal was to stop what he considered bullshit.
Which
from
I'm
the
not
alternative,
the
right, to the alternative medical ideas that were being thrown around like crazy in America.
But you were the... one of the people on the other side.
Right. I was the one on the other side.
So he was essentially trying to convince you and thus all the listeners who agreed with you.
Right. To the straight way. And I said, no, there are alternatives.
And neither one of you ever got frustrated?
No, because we both appreciated the opportunity. Yeah, so it wasn't like we were competing with each other so much as more like we were competing to get the information out, which we got to do that.
So you were very, very knowledgeable in alternative medicine.
Okay, so I have to say, yes, I was. And I did a talk show called Healthline for and New You magazine for Gil Cable. I don't know if you even know that word. Originally, in those days, cable television, which was also new, had alternative talk shows, okay? And I had a chance to interview what naturopathic medicine people and other alternative people, and I took that information and brought it to the station, to Healthline here. I had that background, and at one point I did go to Portland, Oregon. There's a naturopathic college there. I don't know if it's called NCNM. I don't even know if it still exists, but it was talk shows for their TV format. TV format, which, let me tell you, is not as much fun as radio, just so you know.
Okay, good to know.
Yes, yes.
Spend too much time in makeup?
You have
can't
to
wear
look
your pajamas.
Good. And I'll tell you a secret.
You have to look good?
Yes, for television. But there's lots of competition to look good for radio between the ladies. Did you know that?
I did not.
Now you know.
In what way?
Well, I think KFJC and KOME specifically, because it was more, was like, we look good out there, you know, even though we're on the radio.
So, speaking of sort of male-female things,
right.
Were there ever any issues here with respect to women being on the air versus men?
No. No, I don't remember that at all. Did you ever hear of anything like that?
No, I'm just asking questions. I don't.
No, I know. It is a good question, theoretically speaking, but no, I think there was tons of respect, actually, because when it all comes down to it, there is actually a lot of work involved. Mm-hmm. Tell the truth, Jersey Girl. Is there not a lot of work behind radio?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not, you just throw it out there and it's done. There was that under Stacey and worked hard for free. So there was that kind of encouragement. But there was pizza involved.
You didn't have to pay for the pizza?
You know, I don't think we did.
Oh.
I think they just put out these like two or three big ones on this big table. We all sat around them. And I think possibly the station paid for the pizza. I do. Oh. But we would be very interested if anybody goes back that far. If they remember, let us know. Okay, we need to know.
You were on the air and obviously you were one of your favorite DJs because everybody is. But who else do you remember or recall fondly?
I honestly want to say that everybody was good, that there wasn't a favorite that stood out, you know, that everybody was doing very good shows. So that was what was going on.
Great.
Boris Darling, Robert Zepanek, Robert Gaynor, all these names that were all very strong at the time and great shows on the air. Really, really great shows.
And there was diverse shows, or did it tend to stick to one format because of the nature of the period
right.
that they were in?
I'd say both are true. It was different because everybody has a different personality and different ways of doing things. But the format did overlap, so both were true.
When you say format, do you mean
new music, alternative music, what's hot, what's current, that kind of thing.
Okay.
What's edgy?
Edgy. At that time, edgy was...
Edgy went very far at KFJC. I don't know if you agree with me, but when I was there, it was still general enough, B-52s and mod stuff, but the alternative did come in a strong way, but I'd already left the station at that time. The alternative meaning noise music, and it's not my biggest thing. Actually, I don't like it, but at the same time, I respect the fact that people do. I don't quite understand why, but I know they do, so I saw it happen in a strong way, and I do believe it's still going on. Can you explain it, Jersey Girl?
I appreciate it because it is not something I focus on,
mm-hmm.
but I appreciate it mixed in with other things.
You do.
Definitely.
So when you hear it, you're okay hearing it?
Yes.
Doesn't definitely. Annoy you?
No, not at all.
Wow. Because that does say something about you.
I won't say not at all. There are
yes.
certain things
right.
which it depends on. Some artists, they're probably their intent is to truly, really, really challenge people with grating, what I would call grating noises, but and have a reason for doing that.
Right.
But I'm not so much into grating and hurting my ears.
Right, right. See, I don't think that format ever made it in England.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you do think about the Clash or the punk movement in England, it was songs. You know, it was definitely something you could relate to. It was definitely alternative, but it was still music. So in my way of listening to things, it's still hard for my ears to not say, shut up.
I guess maybe you can't drink tea and listen to noise.
Doesn't work very well.
Were there any special projects that you worked on?
No, it all happened here, and it did happen on a continuous basis, so there wasn't anything particularly special that I worked on, no.
And there weren't any promotions outside? So as affairs
yes.
director, what did you do?
Make sure that there was talk on the air so we could keep our license. Remember, I told you how the license
right.
was, it was all about the license at the time, and that's how we had the power that we did, okay, which no longer exists because we aren't needed. It's tough. You know what it's like when you're not needed.
But you need it in a different way.
I think so. I think that I can make people put their phones down. I think that I can make people say, I'm glad I'm listening to radio as opposed to looking at my phone right now. I'm not saying I'm not going to pick up my phone in 10 minutes, but right now I'm having a good time listening to the radio.
How did you feel when you first went on the air?
Well, again, music show was... I felt very creative. I felt like I was expressing my artistic side relating to the music. But when I started doing the talk format, because as you can see, words, I'm a poet. I'm on my 9th poetry book, okay? I'm actually appearing tomorrow at Sangoria Story. And so I've done poetry formats quite a bit. So talk is my home base. And therefore, I felt home.
was part of the training that you had to work with.
No, they just threw you on the air.
Oh, what fun.
Do they do that now? Do you have to work with somebody? Yeah, yes. That's the right way, actually.
Right now, just so you know, you take the class and then you shadow somebody. Then you get thrown on graves, the 2 to 6 a.m.
Yes.
And then you can go on the air.
Well, we did call it the graveyard time. That was my first slot. And that was the same story then, that you definitely would get a time slot like that.
Okay. Did you ever take phone calls?
Yes.
Okay.
Open mic's my specialty. Okay, so you want a little story of an open mic story?
Sure.
So I'm hired by KOME to take over the Expressway show, okay? And the first time I'm on the air, I'm told by them that they have an issue with their... In the old days, at radio station, if you had a call in, okay, there would be a delay of a certain amount of time that if you're... caller would swear or do anything wrong, which could lose you your license, because in those days you used the wrong word, your license would disappear. They could kick that particular person off the air. So here I am starting with this brand new show, okay? And they tell me, Leia, our 60-second delay isn't working. But I'm doing call-ins. But our 60-second delay isn't working. But I'm doing call-ins, okay? So I'm really scared, but I'm still going to stick to my format, which is call-in. And this is what happens. The listeners out there, somehow or another, find out that our delay isn't working. And instead of swearing, Jersey girl, you'll never guess what they said.
Pizza.
No. Ozzy Osbourne. Okay? So stay with me here for a minute. Ozzy was so powerful that instead of calling up a station and swearing because you got the opportunity, you say his name instead. What do you think of that? So there they were calling in. Yes, and eventually they'd say something about what we were talking about, but they would start Ozzy, and I can relate to that. Ozzy Osbourne was very important in England. Okay, before he came to the United States, he did open many doors. He did go pretty dark, though, didn't he? Do you remember?
No.
I guess you wouldn't be calling and going Ozzy, would you?
I have no memory, yeah.
No? All right. Next question.
But did you ever have any issues? Did you do call-ins when you were at KFGC?
Yes.
And meaning, would people call in?
Yes. And there was somebody handling the phone. And were there any issues? Not that I can remember.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So you did not handle the phone yourself?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's very little Leia can Leia needs an engineer, and she still does, okay? So I usually get one because I'm good enough to be worth it. If I wasn't, nobody but bloody help, okay? But they do because they want to hear me on the air, so it kind of works out.
So what... I guess it sounds like when you were here that KFJC was a real tight community.
Very powerful, very tight, and we'd march around feeling incredibly important. And we were, you know. When you get free tickets to see, you know, like the best of the best and respect, and the Keystone gives you an open cover for any three Keystones, and one day the Keystone guy even came and got me because my car wasn't working and he wanted the show talked about at KFJC. You understand what I'm talking about? This is important stuff, and that's all the kind of respect we were getting.
That's great.
And there was some free food involved too, but I can't quite remember. There was always something at the station to eat.
That happens now too.
Now too. Okay,
people
good.
Bring things in.
Yes, there you go. You see?
Yeah. It's great.
We get hungry, everybody out there. We do.
Did they create, what's it called? I don't even know what it's called.
The T-shirt?
T-shirts and stickers and everything?
Yes, yes. They all existed at the time, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you work with particular artists or did...
Well, I had access to T-shirts. But that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else should I be asking you? So you were public affairs.
Director.
Right. And you were the first one.
Officially.
So who was that before?
I don't know. I'd love to throw names. I mean, if you go on my website, you'll see a letter from the general manager that I was their first public affairs director. Robert Zupnik wrote a letter. It's on my website, leialubin.com, under Leia under the radio, Leia at the radio, on the radio. And that's the section that has it in. So, but there was definitely talk shows before I came here and stuff happened regarding talk, but it wasn't very formal. And I think that's what I did. I did take it to a formal level.
Right. Did they have management meetings per se?
Yes, but I can't say much about it because I didn't go.
Why didn't you go?
I was in management.
You weren't? But you were
a talk show host and public affairs director. I know. I think the management meetings consisted of three people: station manager, music director, and Robert and Doc Pelzel. So it wasn't like a meeting of everybody or anything like that. Okay. Yeah, there wasn't that much I could contribute. Okay. It's true.
Okay. And I cut you off before. I did ask you, what else should I be asking you?
Well, again, I want to bring up the future and my true desire to do more talk on a high level with a rock format, because I really do believe that, and I call us rockers, but you could be country, you could be alternative, you could be jazz, you could be reggae, but you could still be a rocker under that category. And I do think that we have specific interests that deserve an opportunity to be discussed. And if I can get taken seriously again, I would love to do that show, Rock Talk with Leah. Maybe I can talk you into co-hosting with me, or at least being part of it.
Maybe.
Okay.
You just want me to engineer.
Well, you know what, Jersey girl, you can say some things too. I can get you to talk better than you even think I can. Uh-huh. Let me think. Do you want me to try?
Nope.
Oh, there you go. There you go. She's clear.
I am from New Jersey. You can't tell me what to do.
I love it. Tell me more about that. See? I'm actually getting you to talk. Tell me more about that. See?
It's my role here to talk to you.
All right. She wins.
And I love to win.
That's fine with me. As long as I get to talk, I don't need to be the winner. I actually...
Right. You know, you
it's late 79.
Well, I have a British accent, so right. I'll go on the radio. But
I also have the intellect.
But there had to have been something right. more. You had to right. have had an interest before right. you came. Is that true? Or you just arrived here and it's like...
No. The interest was knowing that I could do it. Okay. Listening to lots of talk in England on the radio. Okay. So I do have a listening history of talk shows on the radio. And I actually come from a time when we used to listen to pirate radio in England. So there was a time when BBC ran the world, okay, in England. And all of a sudden, the rockers, I'm going to use that as a general term, said, we want something different, okay? So again, there were rules. They had to go on a ship, go into the ocean, and broadcast from there. And it was called pirate radio. And we all started listening to them. And we all got like our hearts and minds opened up to the alternative possibility that eventually led to KFJC.
And when you first moved here, how did you hear of KFJC? Because you lived in the area.
Yes, and I lived about
turned
here.
On the radio, and there it was.
And there it was. And people would talk about it. I mean, it definitely existed as a radio format with power.
So people just standing in line at the supermarket?
I don't know about that, but I think like local newspaper articles and stuff like that. Yeah, so there was definitely a talk about the station.
You said when you came here you had listened to a lot of talk format, but when you first started it was
music.
Here. It was music.
Right.
And was that because that was there?
That's right, because there wasn't even a thought about doing talk.
Got it.
And then when I did bring the specials up here and saw what it's like to start talking to people,
right.
I felt more at home in that. So I have done fill-ins for Spliff Skenkin, who does reggae, obviously, and is actually from my time. He got his broadcasting license around the same time as I did. And then the last show I did at KFJC was the Robert Emmett show, and he also is from my time.
When you came in here today,
yes.
did it look familiar?
Well, you know what? I haven't been in a little while, and I want to know where the lobby went. That's what I want to know. I understand this station has a remarkable amount of vinyl music, CDs, discs, okay. So when you come in, you see how music runs a show. Does it not? Okay.
I'm one of those people that really likes to touch and feel during a show. So
right.
I like to the CDs and
yes.
the tapes.
Yes. And I think
they're going backwards to cassettes now.
I know. That's what I heard. Yeah.
There are quite a number of people who do like to use electronic MP3s.
Right, right.
And we're sitting in a studio here.
I know.
That has reel-to-reel tape machines.
I know. Very atmospheric.
Yes, very atmospheric.
Right.
I don't know the last time we've used them. And I actually don't know where the tapes are stored, if we have any.
Jersey girl, I think KFJC is going nowhere. It's going to be on the air forever.
I thought you meant it's going nowhere. It has no
future. No. I don't even talk like that. When I say, I'll rephrase that, okay? I think KFJC is going to stay on the air forever. How's that?
Sure.
Love it. Okay. Because you know what? When it all comes down to it, radio, there's nothing like it. It's freeing. It's more freeing than watching TV because you can walk around and just listen to your radio. And often it's spontaneous enough that it's not formatted so heavily that you actually have a live, moving experience that does something to your brain.
I agree. And it's unexpected.
Right. That's right.
And that is one of the great things about it.
Right.
There was an article recently about how people learn about music. And there's many different ways now, but in my opinion, radio is the best because, well, college radio stations and alternative format radio stations, because you get personality, you get people picking music, you get somebody doing the work for you to find new music.
Right. Matt, as opposed to electronically programmed. And it reaches you. Because we are kind of lonely out there right now, and we have very few venues that reach you personally. Mm-hmm. And I think it's only going to get worse. I honestly do. Cars are getting more automatic. Everything's getting... I'm worried about it when it's going to be like run by machines, you know, and there won't be room for us humans to talk, and that worries me. But I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime, so I'm not going to worry about it too much. So.
The one thing I am worried about here is running out of space to hold everything.
we'll have to.
I think we have something like 10,000.
Amazing. Amazing.
Pieces of material.
But it's great to share that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is great.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people who don't have a broad knowledge of music. One of the reasons I do this is to experience it myself.
Love it.
And I really appreciate it. And I love to share the excitement, which is why I do it.
Cool. So. Yes, very cool. Please don't stop.
I won't.
Good. Joy, good. Very
don't
good.
Don't stop thinking about tomorrow.
That's right. Don't stop me now. And then what's they say after that? I remember. Oh, yeah. Don't stop me now. I'm having a good time. Don't stop me now. I'm having a good time, baby. Never mind.
Who is it?
I don't know. I don't remember. Someone out there knows. They'll tell you.
Okay, I'm going to hold. I have another question for you. Just as a curiosity, a fun thing, can you tell me what your top 5 or 8 or 10 songs are and why?
Okay. Grateful Dead playing in the band. Okay. John Lennon, Imagine. Can I just say something about John? John Lennon is my teacher. He was so important as I grew up. And he did open many of my intellectual doors for me because that's what he did. He opened up people's minds. So John Lennon forever, The Beatles, Yellow Submarine, that's
Why
three
that
already.
One?
Because it's so hard to pick the right Beatles song. I'm just doing it for you, Jersey girl, so that you could keep the smile on your face. Cyndi Lauper, what girls want now? What was it called?
Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
Yes, right?
Why that one?
Because it's true. It's true. Okay, let's see. What else? I like so many different... You throw one. Give me one of yours.
Why the Grateful Dead one? That particular one?
Because they're all good. And playing in the band is so beautiful and famous. It's very hard to ask someone for their top five.
Oh, I completely understand
that.
But if you could only listen to 5 for the rest of your life...
Well, I like the four I just mentioned. Yeah. You know who's doing really well right now? Queen with their Rhapsody movie. What's the name of that major song that he does that stole everybody's hearts?
You're talking to someone who has no memory.
Okay.
You tell me.
Well, anyway.
Sing it for me.
No. Anyway, we have been very fortunate on planet Earth to have been honored with a lot of huge great music. So I'm going to just leave it open like that.
Okay.
Yes.
That's true. There are some that I would not want to hear over and over and over again, but
we'll skip those.
Yeah. The ones you named, I can definitely see. Although I don't know. Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Oh, that's fun. You have to watch her do it.
There were no... When did music videos start? Those started in 1984.
Right.
That's right, because
right.
I saw the first one,
right,
actually. Sitting on my...
So there I was. I was still here. Yes.
You were here.
Yes.
How, did that have any impact
well,
here?
Well, it was more like more. More to the game, as opposed to... Yeah. That was the feeling.
Mm. Okay.
We definitely were expecting to rule the world.
We meaning...
The people who are running the station, the rockers, we were expecting to take over, just like the hippies were expecting to take over the world too. You know that, right? I mean, how about my throw in Woodstock? I mean, what a time when 500,000 people gathered for music.
True.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can you go? It's never happened again. It's never happened again. And not only that, we gathered believing this was it. When I say we, I wasn't there. But they gathered believing that this was it and that things would never go back to the way they were before. What do you think about the loss of that hope? It is a difficult time now. We don't know what's going to happen. Where there was a time when we believed that you could shake your hands of your brother, you know, kind of thing, and peace and love and all of that would take over. It seems like we've lost a little bit of that.
I like to think of it as just being buried and it'll be unearthed.
I hope so. Yes, I do too.
I think we've talked about quite a bit. And what I'd like to ask you is if, you know, if I think of additional questions that
I'd love to come in again.
Okay.
Metrobin. Should I spell that? No. LEAHLUBIN.com. I hope that maybe we can do a talk show together. I'll make sure you talk. I promise. Okay. And let's see what happens. Maybe we can open some more doors. Okay. I'd like to.
Yeah. What kind of thing?
I would like to do a show, okay? Maybe renew the Expressway show as a title because people had 13 years of listening to it, okay, in the Bay Area. And my format was I'm going to put stuff on the air that interests you with your issues that you're living with, okay? So it could even have been a police officer, how to deal with your traffic tickets. It could be a lawyer, how to do your taxes. It could be food, what's good for you and what isn't, okay? Health, where can you go to different alternatives as well as straight ones because I'm not against straight medicine. Libraries, you know, what can you expect these days from writers? And so that kind of format. But specifically for the listener that is rock focused. Mm. And that, again, can include everything.
Mm-hmm.
Country.
Because rock is everything.
Yes. And it can. It can include everything, including country. Country's rock now. Wouldn't you agree? It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we are good.
All right. So can I say a couple of words, say goodbye to everybody?
No.
Lovely opportunity.
Sorry, start again.
Let's try again. Lovely opportunity to talk to you, Jersey girl, today. We've been dealing with rain. We've been dealing with a difficult winter. Would you agree?
Yeah.
And so this is uplifting and emotionally satisfying. Hopefully, we'll do it again. Thank you very, very much, Jersey girl.
Thank you. I should be thanking you. Thank you for coming in, and this has been wonderful.
Wonderful. Talk to you all soon, everybody. Call the station. Tell them you want more talk. Good day, everybody, and good evening. Good night, too.
And good morning.
And good morning.